Hey guys, and welcome to the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, presented by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. The first podcast to bring you the local fishing report for Alabama's lakes and rivers, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. I'm your host, Nick Williams, and this week's show is brought to you by... Alrighty guys, welcome back to another week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report. Leading the charge this week, we got Dip McMillan reporting in from the Mobile Tensaw Delta. Dip, what's happening?
Nothing much, Nick. Glad you're having me on, buddy.
Absolutely. Now, I know it's been a couple weeks since we've got together. I know I wasn't able to stay for the weigh-in, but I checked in on the fishing tournament, and man, I don't think I've ever seen that many trucks in the parking lot at Hubbard. So y'all had a pretty good turnout. How'd all that go?
Man, it was amazing. It was absolutely phenomenal, man. We end up having 156 kids in the kids division, and all we had 29 boats in the adult division. Probably over 80 to 100 boats at Hubbard's. Just an awesome turnout. So we had a lot of kids that weigh in some fish, man, whether it was a crappie or a bonus fish. And it was every kid got a rod and reel, and every small kid from ages 8 to 2 to 3 years old took home additional other prizes. And the older kids took home some awesome prizes too, including basketball goals and stuff like that. But we made sure the younger kids took home additional other prizes, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, no, that little side building you was at Hubbard's, when I come up there to shake your hand, man, it looked like a retail store. There were so many goodies piled up in there.
It was amazing, man. It was absolutely amazing. I had a ton of help from parking the boats that morning. A couple guys, Hayden Peacock, Cameron Brown, Josh Shook, just everybody just was just a team player, man. And we just knocked it out the park, man.
Yeah, it was. No, when I went there, everything was orderly and organized. Everybody had smiling faces, and I didn't see anything in the news about any boat wrecks or fist fights. So I say you run a pretty good tournament.
Oh yeah, man. Everything, like I said, everything went smooth. Everybody had a good time. They fellowship, cheered them kids on, man. We already preparing for next year, man. Worst can't describe it, man. Felt good leaving there on Saturday.
You talk about already preparing for next year. I can tell you that's a thing I've talked with other tournament organizers and people who put on different fishing expos and stuff like that. And they say it's a 365-day-a-year thing. They say, like you said, like as you're wrapping up one, you're already trying to book a venue for next year and work out table arrangements and everything. So I got a lot of respect for folks to put together big events like that.
You have to. It's a year-round thing, and it's growing so big now. You can't just rely on after the new year and start preparing for it. It starts now. I have tons of people been reaching out to me, wanting help. I mean, Nick, after that weekend, man, I had a memorial tournament over there at Bass Lake, the tournament I won. I had several people come up to me and already being a sponsor for the kids tournament for next year. Just amazing, man. So we already preparing for it. We already told the snow cone lady. She's coming back. We got more big sponsors just ready to knock it out the park, man. We just can't wait.
That's awesome. Well, talking about your tournament at Bates Lake, I think I run into you before then over at Boutwell Bait and Tackle when we were talking a little bit, but I guess I'm behind the loop. I didn't know you won that tournament. What's how'd all that go?
Yeah, man, we had a good time. We went over there and pre-fish that Friday and found some fish. And like I tell everybody tournament fishing, man, you better have a backup plan. The fish we found Friday, Nick, they was there Saturday morning, but they wasn't biting. They wasn't biting at all. So about 9 o'clock, I told my partner, I said, man, we got to go hit a home run. I said, we got only two keepers in the boat. I said, man, according to my notes, I take notes. According to my notes, this certain lake on the Tom Bigby should have some fish. I said, man, according to my notes, they should be there. I said, it's just a hit and miss. I said, we ain't got nothing to lose. So let's go in there, man, put the troll motor down and find them. And Nick, we got in there around about 9:30, put the troll motor down. I looked at the screen, shad was everywhere, and those big crappie was right up under the shad. And he was throwing a hair jig. And about 3 or 4 minutes, he didn't get a bite, but you can see the fish chasing the hedges. So I said, man, let me do something different. So I got a cork and throw one out there with a minnow on it, probably about 4 to 5 foot deep, and that cork never stopped. And let me tell you, it was a big black crappie, man, big black crappie. Got him in a boat, it probably lit over a pound. Throw back out there again, Nick, right on them shad. Cork didn't stop again. Big white crappie. He's probably about 1.4 or 1.5. I was like, goodness. I said, man, we own something now. I said, you need to rig yours up with a cork, too. I said, let's chase these fish. They're up on the shad. And Nick, we missed some real good fish. But we also caught one. I want to say it was a 1.86. And we got lunch on that fish. Ended up winning the whole tournament, man, with almost 9 pounds out of 26 boats. So can't beat it at all.
Man, that is awesome. Like, you talk about fishing, and I know exactly what you say when you say the cork didn't stop. Like, there have been days when I've had the pleasure of doing that, fishing bluegill beds, or the equivalent when you fly fishing is when you start catching flies on your back cast. That fly sometimes will just touch the water, you know. People talk about hooking up on your back cast, and I know I had some good fishing this Sunday morning. I went out there and it was the same thing. Like, as soon as you fly hit the water, bam, something would eat it. And
man, that's fun.
That's exciting. When you throw that balsa wood out there and it just sinks like lead, that's a good day.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, ain't nothing like watching that cork go down.
You said you were getting on black crappie and white crappie. I know I've heard from some folks that there's more white crappie that way. I need to go make my way over there. That's one of the fish that I haven't caught on a fly rod. I need that for my FFI Suncatch Slam. I need to get over there, and you need to teach me the secret to catching the white ones instead of the black ones.
Yeah, those lakes over there is full of, I mean, the falls you grew up on, Alabama and the Tombigbee, I mean, you're going to catch some white crappie.
Well, looking, I mean, it sounds like we got some good fishing. I had some good fishing. I've talked with several friends who've had some good fishing here recently. What do you think it's going to look like here in the next couple of weeks? You think we're going to keep this low water and the conditions that we have? You think it's going to start changing, or you think we're going to be stable a little while before the temperatures drop and it shakes things up?
I think we're going to, it's going to start mid and late September, never fail. It's going to always start on. It's going to start to change, man, to that cooler pattern, man. Right now, the fish is some's up on the shad, some on structure, but they are not aggressive right now at all. I mean, you can throw, I mean, it's just frustrating right now. But once, because the water temperature is 88 to 90 degrees, man, it's hot. I mean, it's absolutely boiling. But once that water temperature gets in the low 80s and the 70s, them fish is going to be on fire. So I'm thinking mid-September, and I know for a fact the end of September, early October is going to be awesome. I mean, absolutely awesome. We need some more cooler mornings, man, and get this water temperature back down. Because right now, like I said, this weekend, again, almost pushing 90 degrees. It's hot.
Talk about it being hot like that, and I know that, yeah, water temperature is definitely a big thing. Like, my solution in the summertime is I just start, you know, I just mess around in the little small spring creeks and wait for everything to get back to better water temperatures out there on the main lakes. Do you ever fish for crappie? I know I've asked other anglers this, and it seems like it's really regional, right? Depends on where you're at in the country if folks do a lot of night fishing for crappie. Is that ever anything you fool with down here in the summer?
I haven't, not yet, but I got a couple good buddies that live on Tensaw Island, and they catch some good crappie at night. I mean, they got a lot of lights around their piers, but you really don't, and I coon hunt a lot too during the fall and winter. You don't see a lot of people, well, you don't see really nobody just going out there like at Hubbard's or Cliff and just trying to find fish at night in the dark, but it is coming for people around Tensaw Island to catch them on their pier lights. And I got a good friend, old Steven. He catch some giants on his pier light certain time of the year with some garfish, and it's not there. But, yeah, I want to get into that. I think that'll be real fun. But, again, too, Nick, I don't want to get too many hobbits, especially at night. Got to coon them coon dogs up.
Well, you know, what you need to start doing is you need to get you one of them lights that mounts on your boat. And then when you turn your dog loose, you can just listen and watch your screen on your collar and
spider
rig or something on it. Hey, I'm telling you, man, this is I was making this plan the other day. We're coming up on teal season, and I love a cast and blast. Past couple of years, if I go teal hunt down on the causeway, I'm taking a little angle cooler with some live shrimp in it and a popping cork. And once we wrap up, we're gonna do
Oh.
that. And then I've shot hogs before floating down the river. And mixing hunting and fishing is the only thing better than hunting and fishing by itself.
Oh, it's awesome. I used to do that religiously on the Delta, especially at Hubbard's. Some angle, like you just said, go shoot some ducks and get back to the boat and stay right in that same creek and go catch about 15 and 20 crappie. Yes, I love it.
That's it. I talked with a guy up in central Alabama, and his default turkey strategy in the spring is he takes his crappie boat out and he crappie fishes. And as he goes along the bank, he'd hit a locator call. And if he heard a turkey gobble, he'd call to him again. And if the bird sounded like it won't play ball, then he'd anchor up the boat and get out on the bank. But if the bird wouldn't come down to the water, he just kept fishing, and he would try again next weekend. He said he'd just find a bird that would play ball. He didn't feel like walking all up and down them hills and hollers.
That's awesome.
Well, man, it's always good to get a report from you. Again, I really thank you for what you do up here in the community. I know we got a small community up here, and to hear about, 150 plus kids getting out there fishing, getting new fishing gear, that's awesome, man. Really appreciate it. If folks want to learn more, if folks want to help out, start helping you get ready for next year's tournament, if they want to donate, where's a good place to get a hold of you?
Yeah, man. Contact me at Dip MacMillan or Dippy Outdoors. Or if any parent or guardian knows any kids that want to hunt this season, whether it's deer hunting, we got a couple of bird hunts coming up at Taylor Creek over there in Mobile. I'm shooting pheasants. So hey, let's get the kids in the outdoors. Contact me at Dip MacMillan or Dippy Outdoors on Facebook. My phone number is on both of those pages. Just let me know. Hunting season's almost here. So like I said, if you need to get on some deer hunts, kid ain't killed a first deer yet, please contact me. We will get you on that first deer hunt and get that kid to harvest their first deer.
This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by. Alrighty, guys, welcome back. Next up, we got Peter Jordan with the Lost Angler Fly Shop. Peter, it's been a while since I saw you. I think the last place I run into you was at the church down there in Fairhope. I think you was at the town hall with some friends protesting federal mud dumping. So.
Yeah, buddy. I mean, that's something that's just got to be done. Just kind of looking at what's going to happen, to our area if we don't do anything about it. It's just more than we can afford to turn our heads and ignore. We just can't look at it and go, we're looking at essentially a 20-year plan that's going to extinguish Mobile Bay if we allow it. And I think the big thing to take away from it is that nobody that was at the meeting we were at, and nobody from Baykeepers, and nobody in the area wants to stop the development of the port at all. We want those jobs to come in, and we want those wonderful things to happen. But all we want is for folks to take that dirt and put it to good use, maybe for shoreline erosion, maybe make Galliard Mountain instead of Galliard Island, or take some dirt and put it on Dolphin Island, rebuild it after the war. I don't care where it goes, just as long as it doesn't go there, keep providing more jobs. But let's not do it at the expense of everybody else.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, last thing I want is more mud in the water. Once you pick up fly fishing, you start realizing just how important it is. That water clarity means a little bit different thing when you relying just on a fly that they can see. And it's been nice, speaking of clear water, man. This drought, I feel bad for the farmers and the guys planting food plots, but man, everything looks nice right now. Like the water in my backyard is usually chocolate milk colored, but it's practically green right now.
Yeah, before we started recording, you and I were talking about going up in the Delta, in the lower section of the Delta in there. Oh, you're starting to get some redfish poking in the bottom, so you can be, fishing for largemouth and suddenly pull out a redfish. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's a wonderful thing to have happen, catching redfish and specks out of your bass boat. But the cool thing, you and I were talking about, that's a lot of fun, kind of an alternative species to mess with on your fly rod, is going after the buffalo carp. It's our native carp species down here. They live in the Delta, and because it's convince them, but they'll take a fly. And it's a ton of fun, man. We throw little damselfly imitations, just stuff that looks like little creepy crawly little bugs, little glass shrimp imitations, tiny little crawfish. Because that's all they're doing is they're just rooting around on the bottom looking for something tasty to eat. And, but boy, when you hook them, they are a blast. They will fight you to death. And that's just a really fun thing to do.
Yeah, they're definitely, they get big and they're super strong. They got some shoulders on them. It's like red horse suckers. But then, I've read, and I'm a layman ichthyologist at best, but I've read some studies where apparently people are of the opinion that they're demonstrably smarter than bass.
I wouldn't doubt it. They're definitely a lot more. They're not as aggressive, that's for sure. That's kind of what you and I were talking about. Big bass. What I told said was, hey, dude, if you're going somewhere that everybody's spent, the big bass have already been caught. And the reason is, they get big by being the most aggressive fish in the system. Whereas, carp, they live considerably longer. They can live 50 plus years, and they're really selective about what they do. So they're a tougher fish to fish for, and they are a lot of fun. And carp can be caught all over God's creation, but they're a ton of fun. They're a blast. You just got to lead them properly. You got to remember that once they really start feeding, they start mudding, they get that head down, that they really can't see the fly as well. So you got to be patient. You may have to present it a couple times. I really like it when I see them when they're just kind of cruising. They haven't started mudding real heavy yet. And that kind of tells me that they're actively looking for something to eat. You don't want them blown out, but when you just kind of see them sauntering all around, just looking for stuff, that's when they're most likely to move to take that fly. So I really like that. And so I actually tie most of my carp flies with little bonefish hooks from Kamikatsu just because they're a way stronger wire. Because those things, like you said, they pull. My goodness, they will pull. If you want a fish that's going to just rip some line off your reel and just give you a tug, and that's your fish. And the best part about it is, too, they're completely happy with the heat right now, so we don't have to worry about hurting them. They don't build up lactic acid like other fish do, and they just, you can fight them, have a good time, let them go, and know they're going to swim away and be good to go. And again, it's a native fish species, so you're just enjoying another little bonus fish down here. And that's kind of the thing about hot summer right now is we get to go enjoy kind of the alternative species because bass, they're looking for a place in the AC. So they're dropping on their own drop offs. They're in those thermal climes. They're trying to find that faster moving water. But in the Delta now, there's still plenty of bait fish, but you have other fish that are going to take advantage of it, like bowfin. And you and I have talked about bowfin at length, and they are a stupendous amount of fun. They are a stupid amount of fun. They fight like there's no tomorrow. They will jump like a tarpon. They got a mouthful of teeth. So if just, be careful, grab some pliers, you're going to need them. And what I really like about them is they're so cool. They are very prehistoric looking, and they live in places where your oxygen level drops in the arid back bays where it might be a little bit more stagnant. You can keep an eye out for them because they'll actually come up to the top and gulp air, and they'll get that air in there. They use their swim bladder kind of like a lung to supplement their oxygen, and so you can see them go up there and gulp air. And then cast a fly to them so you can sight fish to them. And it's a ton of fun. I think they're a blast.
They are definitely fun, and I have not caught one yet on a fly rod, but just conventional tackle, man. If you're sitting there bass fishing and you lay into one, I was hammering them a while ago back in a creek with a little June bug worm with a chartreuse tail, and you'll definitely, if you're fishing in a bass tournament, I know everybody's familiar with the feeling. You sit there and you hook up what you swear is going to be a 5 pound bass. And then it's a bowfin. Soon as he breaks the surface, you're like, well, dang. But if you're not in a tournament, they're a pile of fun to catch.
They are, and then that's another fish that because of what they can do, they're extremely tough. They can handle the heat, they can handle the fight, they can get after it. They're wonderful fish. And then the other thing you can do right now is gar. So both these fish supplement their oxygen by using their swim bladder, kind of holdovers before the dinosaurs. And gar are a ton of fun too. It's really tough to hook them because how bony their mouth is. So a lot of people use rope flies. If you don't want to use a rope fly, I recommend just going way down the size of your hook, like really small thin wire, so it kind of catches in that skin. And if you can kind of get it in there, you'll get them. A lot of people floss them, like they'll just let it run through the teeth and whoop, get them. And gar are a ton of fun too. They can run, they can tail walk, they can do everything you want to. We've got some really big alligator gar in the Delta, and those are some fish that you can hook on a fly rod and not turn. And that's a ton of fun for me, I think. I think it's a blast. And I don't ever think to go, oh, well, I'm in the Delta fishing for gar. Maybe I should use my 10 weight today. I mean, that doesn't ever enter in. So inevitably, I'm always fishing a 6 or an 8. But they're a ton of fun, and that's usually how it works. But for me, if I was going for the way I like to fish for both in and for gar, for both in, I like using something like a Lefty's Deceiver. I like to throw some weedless too if I can, because they really like to be in that heavy cover. They like to kind of hide. They're ambush predators. When I was a kid, I caught a little one, and I put it in an aquarium, a 40-gallon aquarium when I was a kid. It was so cool watching how they'll move that big old fin on their back. It's like a ribbon. It lets them move like back and forth without exerting any real energy. They are the ambush fish to just they're amazing. They're really cool, and they're a blast. So I definitely recommend everybody try that. I like big white deceivers, something with a good side-to-side darting action. It always seems to me that if you throw a fly in front of them, it looks like it's dying in front of them. Like, I'll strip real fast in front, and then I'll just stop it and let it fall. They can't stand it. They will inhale it. And then with gar, same kind of deal. I just like to go way down on the size of my hook, just really downsize it so that when they eat it, I've got something, small enough to get a hold to them with. So I might use just littler flies, the better for me. So like little small, little bead chain clousers, and that works really well. Just little white bead chain clousers. They don't have to be fancy, because that's what majority of what gar eat. It's just really small minnows. And then just to kind of protect myself from getting cut off, I normally will put this is the hard part. You do have to put a little bit heavier test line on there. But I will say this, like gar, for the most part, those little teeth, they don't really, you're not really that worried about cutting the line, if that makes sense. Generally doesn't happen. But it can. But at the end of the day, it's a gar, so if I lost it, I'm not that upset about it. But
For
that's
sure.
a ton of fun. They're a great species. They're in those little out-of-the-way places that maybe you don't see. Maybe there's not as much water flow going by. Maybe you get a little bit stagnant. And a lot of times too, especially gar, they'll be in open water, so they're not as heavy and covered. And they'll take advantage of feeding during the middle of the day when largemouth and other fish are down deep, hiding from the heat. But those are really great ways to kind of, bump up the fun, as it were. And then right now, everywhere in the Delta that's got some sunken timbers loaded with bluegill, shellcracker, and whatnot. That's a ton of fun, man. I was using a little technique the other day. I was taking a little nymph, which is the type of little fly used for trout, just little things. And I had a popping cricket, like a it was basically a popper, a little brim popper made to look like a cricket. And I tied it off to it to use it like a cork. So you'd pop it, sometimes the brim will take that top fly, and sometimes I take the one on the bottom. But that was kind of fun. It let me kind of cover the water in two spaces at a time. You can go through some brim like that, buddy. You can go through some brim.
So it's
But that's
funny you
a fun way
mentioned
to fish.
that. I last week, Andre Davis sent me some foam cylinders, and I was tying a bunch of panfish poppers with them. And I took my fly box out of my fly bag to fill it at the desk. And then I got up the next morning with dad brain and made it all the way out to the creek with my bag of poppers sitting on the desk. So it was either turn around, go home, or just try something different. And so I forced myself. I had some nymphs, and I forced myself to really spend the whole morning nymphing for bluegills in the creek. And you will definitely catch more and bigger bluegills. It's fun to watch them smash top water, but yeah, when I got done doing it, like, to be honest, been fly fishing, I don't know, 1 year, 2 years, not that long. And that was the first time I dedicated a morning, not by choice, but I was just like, okay, well, we're not throwing top water today. And once you figure it out, I hooked into some that were big enough that I thought I had bass on the line for a second.
Oh yeah, it's a ton of fun. Like I said, I like using that popping bug. It's like a cork, and I always like to. My personal opinion that a good brim fly is a vehicle for legs. That's all it is. It's just got to be wiggly down on the bottom, kind of get some attention, and they'll eat it. And you'll definitely, I would say, you can. You're probably going to catch in a creek, especially if you just dead drift it and let it go by. You'll probably catch more than triple your catch ratio, if I'm being honest, because nobody fishes for these little guys this way, and that's 99% of what they eat. And yeah, we do see them being super aggressive and coming up and smacking a topwater fly, which is fun, like you said. But you know, if you're out there to you want to take a mess of fish home for the family, bluegill is a wonderful thing to do, and that's the best way to do it that I know of.
That's it. And the only thing more exciting, that's it. The only thing more exciting than watching one hit a topwater bug is we just had Dip McMillan on, and he talked about a crappie trip where he would throw out his minnow underneath the bobber and the cork would just sink. He couldn't make the cork float, is what he was telling me. So when you got that nymph and a little indicator, and as soon as it hits the surface of the water, it just keeps going down, you know it's gonna be a good day.
Our trout friends do that a ton. They'll use an indicator fly on top, something that floats, or they might use an indicator, which the rest of the world calls a bobber. They call indicators. And what they're doing is they're just covering water. But that works extremely well. You know, I've had this conversation before about using a topwater fly and then tying down to it a smaller fly underneath it, like a little mini imitation for speckled trout and whatnot in the rivers and delta around here. But do that same thing, that same little deal. Just take that small little pink and white woolly bugger or a small little chartreuse and white woolly bugger, and then I just put it underneath a little creased minnow or a little gurgler. It doesn't have to be anything special. Just put it underneath the popper, and you got a wonderful crappie set up because now you can pop it and you can make it work, and you can really get a ton of action out of it too. And you can go through and really have fun. And crappie are fun on white tackle, but they're a blast on fly rod.
For sure. Something that I didn't really think about, when I started fly fishing at the advice of some guys, I told them what I like to do, which is creek fish. And they said, well, I'll get a short rod. And I got a short rod. And then I ended up with a little bit longer rod. And I'd never really thought about it, but I read somebody mentioned it. And they said that fish feel bigger on a longer rod just because there's more lever, So you get a light action 9 foot rod, and especially you let that bluegill on a creek get a little current behind him, and he does that whole turn sideways thing. It'll surprise you how much of a bend a bluegill put in a rod. And I tell you what too, and I've done a lot of this summer, but bass are positively anemic compared to panfish when it comes to a fight. I know people say that like pound for pound they're stronger, but man, like there's when I was up on the Tallapoosa this summer catching red-eye bass. Every time I hooked into a good sized red breast or green sunfish or bluegill or whatever, you thought you had a monster on. You're catching them little red eyes, and then they're pretty, but it's just not there. Like if you could just make them jump more, if you
No.
could just teach bluegill, if somebody, Auburn University, something, we need to get fisheries biologists to make bluegill that jump, and then we'll have the perfect
Well,
sport for them.
my daddy always said if bluegill got to be 10 pounds, wouldn't nobody fish for anything else.
You dang sure, I dang sure wouldn't go swimming if there was 10 pound bluegill swimming in the creek with me. So
No.
I may get them toes may look a little too wiggly down in the water.
That's true. Speaking of creeks, though, you and I were talking about previously. Right now, we're kind of getting close. This weekend coming up, Labor Day. I don't know when the episode's going to air, but this is the weekend. This is the week before Labor Day. And all these little blackwater creeks down here are going to have everybody that wants to enjoy the creek, the inner tube, and hang out, which is nothing wrong with that. These people need to enjoy the creek just as much as us anglers do. And the reason I say that is because when we've got a problem facing our rivers and creeks, and if we as anglers have kept it a secret, then something comes up, it'll be me and you and two other people going, "Hey, don't do that in my creek." Whereas anybody floating down the river, there's been a whole lot more of them, and they're not hurting your fishing any. And suddenly they can help you raise a commotion. So I'm all about everybody enjoying the creek as long as they pick up after themselves. And there's days on Six River. Depending on what side of the river you get off, get out of the river on, you can probably pick up a 12-pack of beer on the way out just because it got left on the side of the bank. Yeah, the downside is a lot of them they'll leave a mess, but the upside is hopefully they'll, help raise the stink if something happens to our little creeks and rivers. But going past that, we're about to see all those folks that are inner tubing up and down these creeks and rivers. They're about to be gone. They're about to be done. Most of these operations end at Labor Day, and or they're very shortly thereafter. So these creeks, these little blackwater creeks, most of them are spring fed. And they're a thermal refuge for these fish. These fish like to get in there. And they're generally, the size of your fish is dictated by the size of the habitat. So it's not going to be huge fish, but, you could definitely take a 4, 5, or 6 weight fly rod and just have a blast. It's coming up pretty soon. They're going to be in there pretty hot and heavy. The Perdido, the Styx. Mobile County just got done doing some stuff on the Escatawa, which that's a beautiful little river. That's a gorgeous river. I don't know that I'd want to inner tube that one, but yeah, I definitely love canoeing it. So we have a lot of wonderful little places about to open up. And as this, like you said, we kind of had that false fall. I was looking at the forecast after you said that. We're going to have some days that don't get out of the 80s for a little while. So hopefully we're about to see the fishing really starting to turn on down here. And it's going to be exciting, I think, like you talked about how that drought is. It's letting our saltwater push way up in the delta. And I think it's about to really turn on in a big way. And fishing right now, again, it ain't bad, but boy, it is hot. It is hot. So those little creeks, if you can get in there, go wading, it's a great way to beat the heat. If you've got kiddos, bring them with you. Let them be little river otters. And just let them have fun. That's the best part about it. I let my kids swim back downriver of me, downstream of me, and I wade up. And April and I just take turns going, one of us will go up, next one goes up. We just keep an eye on the kids, but it's a ton of fun. It's a great way to get out there and go and enjoy these little creeks. A lot of it's on public. So I say the Perdido, there's 4 access points. They're all on public land. And this is all, forever wild land and wildlife reserve land. So this is your property as a public landowner to go enjoy. And by God, just do it. Go do it. It's a fun creek. Those rivers are, we call them blackwater creeks, but they're actually, the water is really, really clear. It just kind of has that tannin color to it. Kind of like weak tea. And there's a ton of really great fish in there right now. It's a good way to go. Good way to go enjoy yourself. My one caution is that in these small creeks, these little areas, creeks and rivers, it's really easy to fish them out. And that area won't recover for a while because it does take a while. There's not the population density of fish. You know, I talked about this previously, that in these creeks, it's almost a food desert. That's why they're so easy to catch in there. So I always just tell folks, hey, man, hit that fish, just let him go. Just let him go back to his spot and let the next person enjoy it. It's a ton of fun.
It's definitely a lot of fun going out there and doing the creek fishing. I know summertime when it's hot and nasty, that's my favorite thing to do is go wade fish, whether you're doing it with conventional tackle, sitting there with an ultralight spinning rod and a beetle spin, or whether you're sitting there flipping a little size 8 popping bug up underneath the bushes, that's just the way to do things. If folks want to get a taste of it, if folks want to go wade some blackwater this weekend, they need some gear, where's a good place to reach out to you if they want to purchase something from the Lost Angler?
Right, so now the store's completely online, so they would just hit me up and I can have it drop shipped to them. It's not a problem. If they want to shop locally, Sam's Bait and Tackle in Orange Beach. Chris Veche has all that stuff. And if they're in the Birmingham area, then they'll need to hit up Rob at Deep South. If you're in Gadsden, you can hit up Mr. Frank Roden. He's up there on the Coosa, and he is just a gem of information. And it's another good thing you can do right now, if you've got an itch before we get too far into school, is go up to the Sipsey and go see Brandon. And get a little bit of trout fishing in too, because those tailwaters, it's still cold in that water. But you can still have a ton of fun in there. And that little stretch of the Sipsey's got, I think it's really neat. You got spotted bass mixed in with some rainbows in there, so I think that's a cool area. And all those are great TFO dealers. And if you want to do the conventional side and you want to fish these little creeks, TFO, we have a trout panfish rod, and it's going to be, that rod goes from 5.6 to 6.6. And I adore that little 5.6. It's only made for 2 to 6 pound test. And boy, as far as like your diameter goes, but you want to take a little beetle spin or a little crankbait or something like that. Oh my gosh, that is a creek fishing machine. That's a ton of fun. And then if you're going to use a fly rod, I generally like them. They're fun.
Yeah, that's what I cut my teeth on, and at the end of the day, that's still what I'd rather do than anything else. I spent a lot of good days with a can of red worms tucked up underneath my armpit as a kid, and an ultralight spinning rod in my hand, freelining red worms up under the creek banks.
Oh, yeah. And I love taking a little 8 foot full weight TFO in there. And it's a blast. Like you're talking about right now, there's plenty of fish that are wanting to take a top water. So you could definitely dead drift a Sam's One bug or a South Bomber, whatever you want to, a Bitsy Poppin' bug. And you can just dead drift it down there and give it a little bit of motion every now and then on that little full weight. Have all the fun you can stand. So there's a lot of wonderful ways to enjoy these creeks and just go after it. If you are going to go for the both end, the gar and the buffalo, I'm going to recommend an 8-weight though, or a medium action cast and spinning rod, just because those guys are they're going to do a little bit more, put you a little bit more work. That's a fact.
There we go. Well, guys, y'all definitely take Peter's advice. Go out there, have y'all a little creek floating fun out there on Labor Day weekend. And we're going to take a quick break. Y'all will take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode has been brought to you by Visit Mississippi. If you're looking for a beautiful state that's packed with outdoor attractions, check out Mississippi. Of course, you know about the Mississippi River, but there are lots of great rivers for paddling throughout the state. Coastal Mississippi's waters are perfect for deep sea fishing or exploring the state's five uninhabited barrier islands. You'll find national forests with campgrounds, trails and recreational sites, 25 parks, and wildlife management areas too. Whatever you like to do in the great outdoors, you can do in Mississippi, where wanderers are welcome. Plan your adventure at visitmississippi.org/outdoors. Alrighty, guys, we're back rounding out this week's report. We got Drew Morgan with East Alabama Fly Fishing reporting in from the wild and scenic Tallapoosa River. Drew, how you been doing?
Man, been doing great. Been doing great.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, we were talking off air, and I had to chuckle because the report the last couple of weeks for us down here, and at least in my part of the world, is, man, it's been dry. The water clarity looks good. The fish are biting. And the first thing you said was, man, this is terrible. I don't know about y'all, but we're not getting any rain and it's messing everything up. So talk to me a little bit about the struggles up
Yeah.
there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this time of year can be, well, I would say other than like November, we didn't say that earlier, but that first frost that comes in really knocks the bite off, but this is probably just as tough this time of year. You can still catch fish. I mean, it's definitely summer, of course. Fish are active, you know, they're eating something, but yeah, the river appear on the Tallapoosa, especially when it gets dry like it has been, it can get low and clear, and with the temperatures, the water can get super hot, or well, I say super hot relative to what the Tallapoosa can get, which may not be quite as hot as other places. But the thing that we deal with clear water is we have a lot of birds of prey, eagles and osprey that just feed on fish when the water gets really low and clear. So for fly fishing, which is what we like to do, which not all your listeners may be fly fishing, but for fly fishing, what we like to do, fish generally congregate in the deeper pools where they can't be seen by birds and there's cooler water. And sometimes that can make it a little bit more difficult to fish a fly. I mean, certainly you got patterns, heavy singing streamers on singing lines that you can use and that can be effective. You know, I mean, I love fly fishing, but I fish all kind of ways, and honestly, this would be a great time to take a spinning rod out there and fish those deeper pools with something that'll get a little bit deeper. But we have had some trips recently where the water has not been clear. We, you know, maybe a random storm at night or something dirtied the water up a little bit and raised it up a little bit. And you know, if you can catch it on those times, then you can definitely catch fish on top water, poppers, kind of the classic summer pattern. Certainly your standard streamers will work this time of year. It's all about catching the water right. I will say this, this is my favorite time of year to wade fish the river. I don't think we've talked about that before, Nick, but with the water low as it is, the river is a heck of a lot more easier to wade right now. Usually we're only fishing from a boat, just because it's a difficult river to wade. But when the water gets low this month in October, wading's a whole lot easier, and you can just really pick apart some of the smaller holes and pools and pockets in the rock gardens and shoal complexes on the river, and that's a lot of fun, especially if you're first just getting into fly fishing. You can float a canoe or kayak down and pull it up on a rock in the shoals and spend as much time as you want walking around the shoals and picking apart all the little pools and things and just forgetting about the world around you. So it is a good time of year to do that. If you know, word of warning, with the water lower, it can be a little bit more difficult to float something down. You may be dragging a little bit more than what you might want to do as far as dragging your whatever watercraft you're in. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of it for now. You know, it's hot. I don't mind the heat as much, but you know, sometimes a lot of people think it's hot, but it's never as hot on the river. You know, you walk into your favorite store and that blacktop is going to be hot, but on the river, on any bottle water, I guess you got the breeze and it's coming off the water, and it's a little bit cooler, but definitely gets warm out there, especially in the middle of the day. And this is probably the one time of year too where the conventional wisdom of early in the morning or late in the evening will help you. That definitely applies on the Tallapoosa for this time of year. I love an evening, afternoon, evening float this time of year out there, probably more so than the morning. I just think there's the bug life's had all day to get going, and the fish are, you know, active, and I don't have to get up as early, so that's nice too. But yeah, I mean, those are my thoughts about right now. Certainly, if you want to go fishing and you got time to go fishing, go fish. You know, don't let it keep you from going. But just know that it may be a little bit more you may be doing a little bit more fishing than catching unless you hit it right. But you never know until you get out there. So
you talk about liking to do an evening trip because you don't have to get up early. So I've always been a real hard charger when it comes to hunting, and you know, setting that old 2 a.m. alarm to give yourself time to wake up, pour your coffee, grab your dog, and, you know, drive back in the swamp and set decoys and all that and beat everybody else out there. And then, man, once you have a kid, that first year, at least last year, my duck season was that 2 a.m. wake up call just didn't seem to make any sense at all. I'd set that alarm the night before, nope. And then 2 a.m. would roll, and I'd text my buddy like, hey, good luck with it. You know, hope you kill them all.
Yeah.
And he knows I don't usually do that, but I've always been the guy who I hear about people talk about fall fishing, winter fishing and stuff like that. But man, I'm usually that guy who come September, I'm starting to think about deer season. By October, I'm in the woods and I don't come out again until turkey season's over, really. But I've gotten, last year I did some fishing in the fall, and I even did some in the dead of winter. And I fished on some days. I had a sandhill crane hunt, but I was up around Lake Gunnersville and I needed to get Jackson County knocked off my list. And so I was sitting there trying to nymph for bluegills when it was 20 degrees that night. I was trying to get there in the middle of the day and catch them when they thawed out a little bit. And that was a little difficult, but I had some surprisingly good days of fishing, and it was nice because, you know, in the winter down here, if you wait to the middle of the day, the farm ponds were warming up, and it was actually tolerable,
right.
You know, and it was nice. It wasn't too cold, wasn't too hot. I didn't have to wake up too early. Kiddo could sit on the blanket with mama. So I'm gonna be doing some more fall fishing this year. What's that look like up in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, I love fall fishing. It's really become my favorite time of the year. You know, not only does it, you get just weather's cooling off and you get the fall colors, and it's just a fun time to be outside, but the fish really start feeding. You know, they say they're trying to feed and get fat before winter, and our fish on the Tallapoosa still feed in the winter. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's that, but I just think it's the water cooling off a little bit. They're just getting a little bit more active. I mean, they may be trying to feed on whatever they can before winter, but, we've had a lot of quality fish caught the fall, and really, I mean, your usual patterns continue to work. in the fall. I'll say this with colors. As we get into now and into the fall, we start kind of getting more into some different what I think are wacky colors, orange or blue, or, and I'm not saying that because I'm an Auburn fan, but it really does work. You know, people don't really use crimson poppers. I just thought about that. Sorry, all the Bama fans, but
I mean, hang on. Every boogle bug out there got that little crimson dot on the underside of it now. That's at least half the magic.
That is true. Then maybe that crimson dot is what gets them. That's true. But yeah, you know, so I will say this: if you get out there, don't be afraid to try some colors that you might not normally think work. Usually in the summer, we're pretty heavy on white and yellow and that kind of stuff, but sometimes some different colors start working, and streamers, olive and gold, will really produce a lot of good fish too. And yeah, I mean, they're just more active, so really, I mean, they're not too picky generally. You know, you can go out there with a plan, and the plan's not quite working, switch up your colors and find the color they want. October is our driest month. I was complaining about it being dry now. It's been a dry August. We need some rain, but October usually is our driest month, and so the water can get low in October. But the saving grace then is that the lake upstream, they start drawing down. They start dropping the lake down to winter pool up at Lake Harris or Lake Wadawi, and so that puts more water in the river. And it gets the flow up. I think one thing we haven't talked about with the spotted bass, especially, they like flow and water, just like in a lake when they're generating. You're used to fishing a lake, you know, that when they start pulling water, it kind of turns the spots on a little bit. Same way in the river. So I think when they start drawing the lake down, they're letting a little bit more water through at the dam. That helps things also. So that's probably a big factor in it. But yeah, I mean, fall is great, and you know, it feels nice. And I'll say this, I'm a big football fan. I love watching SEC football and all that. But I'll tell you this, man, it's fun to listen to a football game while you're on the river fishing. That's a lot of fun.
But it's funny you say that. I've never been able to sit down and watch a football game start to finish. I'm not a big sports guy. But one of my best friends that I used to work with, he would religiously, like he always had to work during the Alabama game. We were always working. But he would put the game on the radio, and I spent so many nights and afternoons listening to the Bama game between him and, you know, just, you know, hanging around the guys at deer camp. That's just good background noise. Like, you're right. If you're up at a deer camp or hanging out with somebody in the garage or something, and you got that crappy, you know, $15 Radio Shack radio over in the corner. That hits right, man. That's like rain on a tin roof.
Oh yeah, I'm an Auburn fan, and Auburn fans may disown me for saying this, but man, Eli Gold call a game on the radio while you're doing other things. I mean, that's definitely good stuff. And Auburn's had their fair share of good radio announcers too. But I just think it's fun to be out doing some kind of sporting activity, whether it's bird hunting or fishing a river or whatever it is. It's just something about, it just feels kind of old school to be about the, you know, out the outdoors while you also got a SEC football game going on in the background. So kind of, I feel like unless you went, you know, back in the day, unless you went to the game, that's how you paid attention to it, I guess. But
that's it. Another thing that I liked about fishing a little bit in fall and winter last year is you actually get to break out, you know, you actually wear your waders and break out your flannel, and you feel like you know, fielding the stream cool. Or, you know, yeah. You got that L.L. Bean, L.L. Bean, Orvis, fielding the stream, or back when it was forest and stream, you know, like you can wear them heavy fabrics.
Get your wicker curl out.
Yeah, that's it. That's a vibe, man.
Plaid flannel, your tweed, tweed coat.
Yeah. I got a buddy who threatens that he's going to buy me a tweed jacket and make me take pictures for the magazine with a pair of shorts, cut off shorts and a tweed jacket, fly fishing.
Yeah, those guys are probably just on us. We're out there in hoodies and flat brim hats and, you know, just trying to stay warm. But I guess they were too. But yeah, that's funny. So yeah, I mean, I think our season tends to start to wind down. Like I said earlier, first frost that comes through usually November, early to mid November. Fish do kind of seem to kind of shut off then. But on a future episode, we'll have to talk about winter fishing because pretty soon after that, in the winter, if you can hit the day right, if you can hit the weather right, it can be really magical. But nothing, you know, we talk about pretty scenery and that kind of stuff, and that's definitely a part of river fishing is enjoying the scenery. And I'll say this, winter fishing is not pretty. It ain't much pretty stuff to look at, but man, the fishing can be good. So that's something to look forward to as well. But yeah, for the fall is a great time, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm planning on getting out there myself this fall. I'm actually fishing with my brother for a fun trip next weekend. Me and my brother are going to go fish. I hope he rows the boat some. I'm gonna make him row so I can fish. So it'll be good.
There we go, man. That was something. Now I tried to row well when Will was out there. He let me row a little bit, and I figured, well, surely it can't be that hard because I've paddled a canoe. Goodness gracious, I've paddled a lot of miles in a canoe, and like can't be that hard. Like I could take a boat down the river, and I got the oars in my hands, and after about 10 minutes of it, I was like, okay, that's a humbling experience. So,
do you go in circles?
Yeah, he finally too. He sat there and he was trying to give me a little bit of coaching, and he said, look, maybe just aim for that rock right there, because You ain't missed one yet trying to avoid them. He said, just aim for them. See if that works for you. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, it's everything's in reverse. And you know, they don't work unless, I think, you got to put the oars in the water. You know, that's the other thing, or the blades in the water. It definitely takes some getting used to. And it's always humorous when somebody tries it for the first time. So I hate I missed that. So.
You definitely missed a dog and pony show. I was glad there wasn't anybody out there that day who didn't love me watching
that'll,
me do that.
That'll humble you for sure.
Oh yeah. Well, if somebody wants to get out there and if somebody wants to start looking at making a fall trip or start thinking ahead planning for the spring, where's a good place to get a hold of you, Drew?
Yeah, I'll say this, anybody listening, fall really is a great time to get out there, and we generally have more availability in the fall just because football season, like we were talking about, and a lot of people are starting to think more about hunting rather than fishing, but it's a great time to get out there. So don't waste an opportunity. If you got it, you can look us up at www.eastalabamaflyfishing.com, and all the information will be there, and a way to book your trip will be there. We'd love the opportunity to take you out, show you a good time on the river, try to catch some fish. But I guarantee you'll have a good time. And so, yeah. And Nick, I appreciate the opportunities for me to come on here and talk about the Tallapoosa and fly fishing for bass and all that good stuff. So,
absolutely. It's always good catching up with you. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by Bucks Island. Is a family-owned and operated business since 1948. They have new pontoon boats, bass boats, bow riders, and aluminum boats for sale. They love trade-ins for boats and motors. They can rig your boat or ship your new motor anywhere in the United States. They provide boat service on all kinds of boats, even if they weren't purchased from Bucks. They have factory-trained and certified technicians. Visit them at 4500 Highway 77, Southside, Alabama, 35907 zip code, or give them a call at 256-442-2588. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And again, don't forget to text that code ALFFR to 779-345-2918. Again, just text ALFFR, it's Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, to 779-345-2918. Subscribe to our email list, and we'll send you the promo code via email. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by Southeastern Pond Management. Since 1989, Southeastern Pond Management has been a leader in pond and lake management services. Schedule an obligation-free consultation today. Call 888-830-POND or info@sepond.com. Also by Fish Bites. Whether you're hitting the sand with set rigs or fishing the flats and marshes for speckled trout, redfish, and flounder, Fish Bites has something for you. Check out the full line of scented saltwater and freshwater baits at fishbites.com. Also brought to you by Killer Dock. Killer Dock combines durability, function, and design to uniquely upgrade your entire dock experience. Visit killerdock.com to see more.